Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
Welcome. I am Solazar and this is my Metaphysical Musings. Now, before we get into the show, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm a speaker, I'm a performer, a reader, a healer, a radio host, and an author. I've been a part of the metaphysical community all my life, and along the way, I've completed a series of formal studies as well. This show is about sharing a variety of metaphysical subjects, about using those subjects as a way of healing and helping us grow in our spiritual journey in our own individual way. Now, I like to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. In 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh. And he took the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. James Allen wanted us to know that each and every day we have a new opportunity to create a new future. You see, our present reality, where we are right now, is a direct outcome of our past thoughts and habits and beliefs and intentions. But our past thoughts, habits, beliefs, and intentions don't create our future. You see, our present thoughts, habits, beliefs, and intentions create our future. And every day, as we awaken to a new day, we have a new opportunity to create that future. In Day by Day with James Allen, his words have been broken up into a little segment for each day of the month. For the 23rd day of the month, James Allen tells us, your thoughts brought you here. You are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. So instead of focusing on your past and reliving those thoughts, those beliefs, those habits, each day we have an opportunity to create a new thought, a new habit, a new belief, and a new future. Don't let tomorrow keep you from Don't let yesterday keep you from facing a new tomorrow. Often we find that we've built up belief systems that require a restructure. One of the things I do every day is I share from Daily Word put out by Unity. And it gives me a focused positive thought for the day that I can use to help me make it through the day and reframe my thinking. And today's Daily Word says, Divine revelations awaken me to greater understanding. Divine revelations awaken me to greater understanding. Do you have a practice of meditation or just sitting quietly or being in nature or gardening or walking? A time when you take away the noise of the outside world and you allow yourself to experience the silence of your inside world. Now, I know sometimes walking may not necessarily take away the noise of the outside world, but a walk without listening necessarily to music or listening to positive affirmations or repeating positive affirmations or listening to something very tranquil as you take that walk so you can appreciate what you see around you. Engaging in some practice that separates you from the day-to-day noise of the world the busyness of the world that allows you to go into that inner space inside will put you in deeper connection with today's affirmation from the Daily Word, which is, divine revelations awaken me to greater understanding. And that's a great way to get into our topic for today. Now, the first 2 weeks of the show, I spoke about forgiveness. It's a very tough topic because often forgiveness is an intellectual exercise for us. It's not really the heart-centric exercise, the spiritual soul-opening exercise that it needs to be. As Lisa Barnett shared in her book, The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records, she shared, forgiveness is the quickest and simplest way to clear karma throughout time and space. In the past several shows, I established that there are three primary fears that we operate from: the fear of abandonment, the fear of not being enough, the fear of trusting. And all of them stem from an underlying separation from source. So when we are wounded, when we are hurt, we actually are wounded in one of our primary fears. But we're wounded because underneath those primary fears, we ourselves don't feel the connection to our source. So every trauma, every wound scratches the itch of that underlying fear. Any feelings of inadequacy, victimization, and self-doubt all stem from those fears and separation from source. As Pierre Teilhard de Chardin reminded us, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Since we're divine beings, we're born divine. You are your own source. If you're separate from source, you're separate from yourself. If you're separate from yourself, your fears of inadequacy will form the foundation of your other fears and feed your separation from source. Now, forgiveness is one of the hardest yet most necessary aspects of our emotional, spiritual, and physical health. Over the past two shows, I shared the journey from ordinary forgiveness to radical forgiveness and the varying levels of forgiveness. Radical forgiveness is knowing that in a spiritual perspective, nothing wrong was done to you or happened to you. It goes back to that metaphysical premise that everything brought into our lives is brought into our lives for a purpose, for a lesson, for us to learn. Now, that's painful to consider when we're in the midst of our trauma. And if you're in trauma at this moment, I am not trying to take away the empathy or the concern for any trauma that you're feeling. That is real, that trauma that you're in, that pain that you're feeling. Our forgiveness is a part of saying, it is not a problem created by an other. It is my responsibility. You see, if nothing wrong was done, there's nothing to forgive. And radical forgiveness requires that you accept responsibility for what has occurred. You understand that it's in the past and it can't be changed. And you choose to release the pain to accept peace and love into your life. Those are the choices you have. Alan Watson shared that when you forgive, the first is that you recognize you have not lost your peace or love because of what happened. You lost it because you chose to lose it. You decided at some point to let go of the peace of the divine in your heart. The event then came along to justify your loss of peace. You projected the loss of peace into the event and said, that is why I am upset. That's tough to swallow, but it goes to the heart of accept responsibility for what occurred. Now, when you accept responsibility, you're not accepting blame. You're not accepting shame. Those are the outcomes of the wounds and the trauma. You're accepting responsibility that this is here for you to learn, to grow, and to rise above. Once you see your loss of love and peace as your choice, it lessens the need to be a victim and to blame others for how you feel. As mentioned last week, many of our wounds, generally all of our wounds, are carried in the part of you called the inner child. Now, many disciplines in metaphysics have explored elements of the inner child. My concern is how to heal the wounds you carry by knowing and understanding your inner child. Your inner wounds are stored and carried by your inner child, which is made up of memories of your own emotional thinking and behavior patterns from different stages of your life. Now, since so many parents are dealing with their own inner child issues when they have children, they may not have provided the loving, responsible foundation needed by their children. As a child, you're not mature enough to protect yourself from feelings of abandonment, from feelings of being unlovable, from a distrust of others, and many other elements that would feed into your underlying feelings of separation of source. To become a fully functional adult, your inner child wounds have to be healed. So in his book, Homecoming, Reclaiming and Championing Your Inner Child, John Bradshaw offered a mnemonic to identify and describe the types of wounds stored within the inner child. The mnemonic is the word contaminate. So the C of contaminate is codependence. The O is offender behavior. The N is narcissistic disorders. The T is trust issues. The A is acting out, acting in behaviors. The M is magical beliefs. The I is intimate dysfunctions. The N is non-disciplined behaviors. The A is addiction, compulsive behaviors. The T is thought distortions. And the E is emptiness, which creates apathy and depression. So let's examine these in more detail. To be codependent is to be out of touch with your own feelings, needs, and desires. Codependence is fostered in unhealthy family systems. Children need security and healthy modeling of emotions, and they also need help to understand separating their thoughts from their feelings. In a codependent situation, everyone becomes focused on the behavior of the parent who is the one acting out or avoiding a parent's behavior. So the child becomes focused on the behavior or avoiding the behavior, and then the child loses touch with their own inner feelings because they're focused on that adult's external behavior. Without a healthy inner life, the child and adult are exiled to seek fulfillment on the outside. This is the codependence, and it's a symptom of the wounded inner child. Codependent behavior indicates that the childhood needs are unmet, and therefore the person cannot know who he or she is. Then there's offender behaviors. Now, while many think a wounded inner child is always a quiet, inner suffering child, much of the violence and cruelty in the world is done by those with wounded inner children. An offender behavior, which is the major source of human violence, is the result of childhood violence and the suffering and unresolved grief of the abuse that was received by that actual child. The once powerless wounded child becomes an offender adult, acting out in retaliation for the trauma received as a child. Offenders don't take responsibility for their behavior. Many forms of child abuse may set up a child to be an offender. This is especially true of physical abuse, sexual abuse, and severe emotional battering. An abused child identifies with the offender as a way of coping with the inner wound. Sexual, physical, and emotional violence are terrifying to the child, and in order to survive the pain, the child loses all sense of his or her identity and identifies with the offender. Now, while most offender of behavior is rooted in childhood, it's not always the result of abuse. Some offenders were spoiled by their parents through overindulgence and oversubmission, so that they learned to feel that they were superior to others. Now, pampered children come to believe that they deserve special treatment from everyone and that they can do no wrong. They lose all sense of responsibility, believing that their problems are always someone else's fault. A good example of that is sitting in the White House. It's always someone else's fault. It's always someone else's problem. There's no self-responsibility. Narcissistic disorders is also one of the behaviors mentioned by John Bradshaw. Now, from birth, every child needs to feel loved unconditionally. And additionally, the child needs to know appropriate boundaries. So without the mirroring eyes of a non-judgmental parent or caretaker, a child has no way of knowing who he is. You needed to know that you mattered when you were a child, that you were a part of something that could be depended on, and the love of your family could be depended on. So if your healthy needs were not met growing up, your sense of self, your I am, was damaged. It was uncertain. It was unsure. John Bradshaw called this narcissistically deprived inner, called this the John Bradshaw called this the narcissistically deprived inner child. A narcissistically deprived inner child contaminates the adult with an insatiable craving for love, attention, and affection. The inner child's demands sabotage the adult relationships because no matter how much love is forthcoming, it's never enough. Since a narcissistically deprived adult child can't get his or her needs filled, because they're actually a child's needs, and children are needy by nature, their needs become dependent then on others to be filled. Narcissistically deprived adult children can be disappointed in relationship after relationship after relationship, always looking for the perfect lover. They often become addicts. Sex and love addictions are an example. They seek material things and money to give them a sense of worth. They become performers, like actors and athletes, to reach the adulation of the crowds because they need the continuous adulation and admiration of the audience. And they often use their own children to meet their needs. They try to get from their children the love and special admiration they could not get from their own parents. Thereby, once again, repeating the cycle by imposing those needs on the children, who then wound their own inner child and then grow up to be narcissistically dependent adults. Next is trust issues. Now, when caretakers, which our parents or whoever is raising you, when they are untrustworthy, children develop a sense of distrust. Now, a caretaker could be a parent, a teacher, somebody of authority in the child's life. Again, when they're untrustworthy, the children develop a deep sense of distrust because those are the people that they're expected to trust. They're expected to be reliable. So the world becomes a dangerous, hostile, unpredictable place when you can't trust your caretakers. The child feels that he or she must always be on guard and in control. And this is when a control madness emerges. Control becomes an addiction. Control madness causes severe relationship problems. Trust disorders also engender extremes in trusting others, and the trust issue wounded inner child adult either gives up all control and trust in a gullible and naive way, clinging to others and over investing esteem in them, or withdraws into isolation and loneliness, building protective walls that allow no one to come in. So a person who can't trust or never learned to trust confuses intensity with intimacy, obsession with care, and control with security. So any child that can't learn to trust the world, they can't learn to trust themselves. And trusting yourself means you can trust your personal powers, your perceptions, your interpretations, your feelings and desires. So a trust issue wounded inner child has the inability to trust their own feelings, their own thoughts, their own sense of self-protection. And if a child can trust mom and dad, then the child would trust them and learn to trust themselves. So this is a really big issue in lines of trust, and we hear that all the time from many people. The next behavior, of course, is the acting out and acting in behaviors. And the primary motivating force in your life is your emotions. And emotions are the fuel that moves you to defend yourself and get your basic needs met. When you're threatened, you know to run away. When you feel unsafe, you know to seek protection. So when your emotions are frozen, they're unresolved and unexpressed, the emotional energy continually tries to resolve itself. Since it can't be expressed in healthy expression, it's expressed in abnormal behavior, and this is called acting out. Now, acting out or reenacting is one of the most devastating ways in which the wounded inner child sabotages your life. You repeat what you attempt to avoid. You want closeness, but you push people away. Other examples of acting out can be reenactment by doing or saying to your own children what was done or said to you. Now, this is the old issue of repeating the words your parents said, but it's not about really repeating the words your parents said. It's really repeating the behavior that was damaging to you by re-damaging your own children. Spontaneous age regression through temper tantrums, you know, acting like a child of wanting your own way, pouting, being inappropriately rebellious because just because you want it doesn't mean I want it. I'm not going to do it. And acting in is about when you punish yourself the way you were punished in childhood. So you want to go out, you want to socialize, you want to be with people, but something happens with your partner. So you pout, you throw a temper tantrum, and you choose to keep yourself at home. You're not going. Well, who got hurt in the process? Not only did you create a damage in your relationship with your partner, but now you've put yourself home and you can't go out. That is the acting in, where you're punishing yourself the same way you might have been punished in childhood. So emotional energy that is acting in can cause physical problems, including gastrointestinal disorders, headaches, backaches, neck aches, muscle tension, because it creates all that tension, arthritis, asthma, heart attacks from the stress, even being accident prone is another form of acting in. You inflict punishment on yourself through accidents repeatedly. The next behavior is magical beliefs. Now, magic is the belief that certain words, gestures, or behaviors can change reality, and children are magical in their thinking. Dysfunctional parents often reinforce their children's magical thinking by telling them their behavior is directly responsible for someone else's feelings. Statements such as, "You're killing your mother. See what you've done. Your mother is upset. Are you satisfied? You've made your father angry." These are things where they're taking the child's behavior, actions, words, and turning them into the effector of someone else's emotional response. These are forms of creating and reinforcing magical thinking in the child. And another form of magical reinforcement is the statement, "I know what you're thinking." So a child who's already wounded through unmet dependency needs won't grow up when magical thinking is reinforced. As an adult, he or she is still contaminated by the magical thinking of a child. Beliefs such as, "If I have money, I'll be okay. If my lover leaves me, I'll die, or I'll never make it, or if I have this degree, that'll make me smart. And if I try hard, the world will reward me. And if I wait, wonderful things will happen." Magical thinking is reinforced as a result of parents sharing those types of thoughts to a child whose needs are unmet, whose support is unmet, whose caretakers are not consistent and responsible. Now, when you outgrow the magical message of fairy tales, you understand that the symbolic statements are not literal stories. So when the inner child is wounded, the stories become literal. When the inner child is wounded, the stories become literal roadmaps to living happily ever after. Next is intimacy dysfunctions. Now, many adult children move back and forth between the fear of abandonment and the fear of engulfment, of being swallowed up whole. Now, some are permanently isolated because of their fears of being smothered by another person. They don't have the ability to create their own boundaries, to have that safety. Now, others refuse to leave destructive unions because of their fear of being alone. Yes, this isn't working, but he really loves me, or she really loves me. It will come around. It will be fixed. Now, most intimacy dysfunctional wounded inner child adults fluctuate between the two extremes of abandonment and engulfment. In all cases of intimacy dysfunction, the wounded inner child contaminates intimacy in relationships because he has no sense of his or herself. The greatest wound a child can receive is the rejection of his authentic self. So when a parent rejects the child's authentic self, a false self is set up. In order to receive love, the wounded child behaves as he or she believed the parent expects them to. As the false self develops over the years gradually, the false self becomes who the person really thinks he or she is. He forgets the false self is an adaption, an act based on a script someone else wrote. Now, it's impossible to be intimate if you have no sense of yourself. How can you share yourself with another if you don't know who you really are? How can anyone know you if you don't know who you really are? Your true sense of self is developed over the years by developing strong boundaries. Physical boundaries protect your body and signal when someone is too close or is inappropriate. Sexual boundaries keep you safe and comfortable sexually. I mean, people with weak sexual boundaries often have sex when they don't want to. Emotional boundaries tell you where your emotions and another's begin. You know where your feelings are about you and when they are about others. Intellectual and spiritual boundaries determine your beliefs and values. So a child wounded through neglect or abuse has his boundaries violated. The child develops fears of being engulfed or abandoned. A person who knows who he is doesn't fear being engulfed. And when a person has a sense of self-value and self-confidence, he doesn't fear being abandoned. A person without strong boundaries will have trouble saying no and knowing what they want. Many codependent couples engage in intensely objectified and addicted sex. It's the only way their wounded inner kids know how to be close. Before I go on to the next one, I want to caution the listeners. Each and every one of us may contain elements of several of these wounded inner child behaviors. Don't expect that you have to absolutely be one or the other, which is why some of this may seem like overlap between different behaviors. It is. It's just how we choose to act out in a given moment. And our next behavior is non-disciplined behavior, which discipline comes from the Latin word disciplina, which means teaching. See, by disciplining children, you teach them how to live more productively and lovingly. As M. Scott Peck has said, discipline is a way to reduce life suffering. You learn that telling the truth, delaying gratification, being honest with yourself, being self-responsible can actually enhance life's joys and pleasures. Children learn from what their parents actually do, not from what they say they do. When parents fail to model discipline, the child becomes undisciplined. When parents rigidly discipline and then don't walk what they talk, the child becomes over-disciplined. The undisciplined inner child dawdles, procrastinates, refuses to delay gratification, rebels, is self-willed and stubborn, and can act impulsively without thinking. The over-disciplined child can be rigid, obsessive, overly controlled and obedient, people-pleasing, and ravished with shame and guilt. Most of us have a wounded inner child fluctuate between undisciplined and over-disciplined behavior. It's a going back and forth, and we demonstrate. Once again, as I said, and to the lead into this, don't expect that it's absolutely one behavior that's the reflection of your wounded inner child. There's also addictive-compulsive behaviors. Now, the wounded inner child is the major cause of addictions and addictive behavior. Being aware that the inner child, the wounded inner child, is the core of your compulsive and addictive behavior helps to see the addiction in a much broader context. An addiction is a pathological relationship to any form of mood alteration that has life-damaging consequences. Alcohol, drugs, even food are the most dramatic mood alterers that we know. And there are many other ways that feelings can be changed, but we tend to use them to shift our feelings, to give us a sense of well-being, a sense of peace, a sense of satisfaction. And there are also cognitive addictions, such as feeling addictions and addictions to things. Addictive activities can be, you know, work, overwork. I only feel fulfilled when I do my work, or shopping, or gambling, or sex, or even religious rituals. In fact, any activity can be used to alter feelings. And activities alter feelings through distraction. Cognitive addictions are a powerful way to avoid feelings. Fear addicts tend to catastrophize and awfulize. They become worry warts and drive other people crazy. Some folks get addicted to sadness and grief. You know, they seem no longer to have sadness. They are sadness. And for a sad addict, sadness is a state of being. And then there are the joy addicts, which can be truly annoying. The good boys and girls who are forced to smile and be cheering as child, it's as if the smile gets frozen on their face. And joy addicts never see anything bad. They smile through the worst events of their life. And then money, both the having of it and the not having of it, and not having enough of it. So anything can become a preoccupation, and as such, a mood alteration for the person. So at the core of addictions is the wounded inner child who is in a constant state of craving and insatiable neediness. Remember we said earlier, a child needs their needs fulfilled from without so they can then learn to fulfill their needs from within. Without that boundary being properly met, that need being properly met, a wounded inner child spends their lives trying to fill their need from without. They've never learned how to fill their needs from within. And one doesn't have to be around an addict very long to see those qualities of dependency and neediness. Next is thought distortions. Now, children are absolutizers. The quality of a child's thinking is manifested by all or nothing polarity. If you don't love me, you hate me. There's no in between. So children are non-logical, and this is manifested in what's been described as emotional reasoning. I feel a certain way, therefore it must be this way. If I feel guilty, I must be a bad or rotten person. Children need healthy modeling in order to learn to separate thought from emotion, to think about feelings and to feel about thinking. Children personalize everything. If the parent has no time for the child, it must mean the child is not okay. Something is wrong with the child. And children interpret most abuse in this way. Egocentricity is a natural condition of childhood, not a sign of moral selfishness. A child's world is focused around the child. So when a child's developmental dependency needs are not met, in adulthood, he or she is contaminated by that inner child's need of thinking, that mode of thinking. They're thinking about themselves, and they're thinking, if you don't like me, I must not be worthy. If you're mad at me, I must be a bad person. America, right or wrong, is a good example of absolutist thinking. Any form of absolutist thinking is childlike thinking. Two common patterns of that distortion are universalizing and detailing. Now, universalizing is a distortion when you use it to distract from your feelings. So a truly distorted form is called the awfulizing. You awfulize when you make hypotheses about the future. What if there's no money left in the Social Security system when I retire? Think that triggers fear. It's an awful thing. What if there's there? Now you're focused on something in the future over which you have no control. And since the thought is not fact but hypotheses, you literally scare yourself by engaging in that awfulizing thought. The wounded inner child often frequently thinks this way. Now, detailing is an important intellectual ability, but when it's used to distract from painful feelings, it distorts the reality of your life. Compulsive perfectionist behavior is a good example of this. You become absorbed in the detail as a way to avoid your feelings of inadequacy. You use the details as a distraction. You'll even hear examples of egocentric thinking everywhere once you start listening for them. And detailing, as I said, is a good way to do project planning, but it's not a good way to live your life to keep from feeling. Next is emptiness, which can lead to apathy or depression. So the wounded inner child contaminates adult life with a low-grade chronic depression experienced as emptiness. The depression is a result of the child's having to adopt the false self, leaving the true self behind. This abandonment of the true self amounts to having an empty place inside and knowing that you've adopted a false self, because at a level of yourself, you know that. Even if consciously you don't think that, you know that. It also leaves you hollow from the experience of knowing this isn't who you truly are. So when you lose your authentic self, you've lost contact with your true feelings, your needs, your desires, and what you experience are the feelings required by the false self. For example, being nice is a common false self. A nice woman never expresses anger or frustration, and to have a false self is to be an act. One's true self is never present. So being nice and never expressing anger or frustration often results in a passive-aggressive behavior as well, which then leads other people to alienate you further because they push you away. Emptiness can also be experienced as apathy. When your inner child is wounded, you feel empty and depressed, and life has a sense of unreality about it. You're there, but you're not in it. This emptiness often leads to loneliness. And when you are never who you really are, you're never truly present, even if people admire you, you feel alone because a part of you knows it's not you. So they don't really admire you. They admire this other sense of self. Adult children are very self-absorbed. See, their emptiness is like a chronic toothache, and one is in chronic pain. All one can think about is him, his or herself. As I mentioned earlier, because a child's needs went unmet, there's an egocentricity that wounded inner children carry with them. So these categories, as brought out by John Bradshaw, cover most of the areas of wounds found in your inner child. So let me mention again what each of the categories are without the detail. One is codependence. 2 is offender behaviors, 3, narcissistic disorders, 4, trust issues, 5, acting out, acting in behaviors, 6, magical beliefs, 7, intimacy dysfunctions, 8, non-disciplined behaviors, 9, addiction compulsive behaviors, 10, thought distortions, 11, emptiness, which can lead to apathy or depression. Now, once again, in his wonderful book, which is not difficult to read, by the way, and is not too heavy, although you might want to do it in degrees, but in his book, Homecoming, Reclaiming and Championing Your Inner Child, he also gives a series of self-tests that you can take that help you determine whether or not you are reacting from your own wounded inner child. I will say this, any behavior, anything you have in your life that's related to your behavior that you're working on or not satisfied with, chances are comes from a childhood wound. And healing those wounds is the most critical element of what we do in our life. People are always saying, what's my life purpose? Well, our life purpose really is to heal ourselves, forgive, and to be the greatest example of who we are in the world. Since we're born divine, what we want to do is shine our light as brightly as possible. And the way to do that is to heal our inner wounds and become the greatest representation of ourselves. What we physically do in the world can only be enhanced, regardless of what it is, by being the greatest light and the greatest representation of ourselves. Now, I mentioned last week that I wanted to guide you through the healing process, and while healing is the intended outcome, just like forgiveness, the most important element of healing your inner child is to take responsibility for the behavior you demonstrate in response to your wounds. Healing is not a one-time event. Healing is an ongoing process that requires your attention every day. Now, I'm going to walk you through a guided meditation that you can use to heal your inner child. So if you're driving, please stay alert to your driving. Don't perform the meditation with us. Just commit the attention, but not your focus. It may also help if you turn down so that you don't actually hear this as you go through it if you're driving. So sit in a relaxing way. Make sure you're sitting with your feet flat on the ground. Don't lie down. Don't put yourself back in a recliner. Sit with your spine erect, your arms resting, your feet flat on the ground. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Again. As you sit there, please listen to the sound of my voice. Make yourself comfortable and take a long, deep breath. Say out loud, I give myself permission to meditate for 5 minutes. Breathe in slowly through your nose and out through your mouth. Each breath in is warm, relaxing, and peaceful. Each breath out releases your worries, your cares, your stress. Breathe in, breathe out. In your mind, say, I give myself permission to meditate for 5 minutes. Breathe in, breathe out. As you breathe in, know it's possible to relax completely. Breathe in each relaxing, peaceful breath. Breathe out all the tension and tightness. Close your eyes. Breathe in. Breathe out. With each breath, it's possible to relax so completely that the thought of opening your eyes is more effort than you're willing to expend. As your eyes relax, your body relaxes. You continue to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Each breath in brings you to a deeper, more relaxed, more peaceful calm. Each breath out releases your tension and stress. Feel the light of calm, peace, and relaxation coming in, and allow all the negative energies to flow out. You don't need them anymore. Let them go. They're no longer a part of your life. They no longer serve you. You no longer need them. Feel your body relax. Feel your mind relax. Feel your body wrapped in a warm blanket of relaxation. Breathe in, breathe out. Pay attention to the rhythm of your breath. Breathe slow, deep, relaxing breaths. Drift deeper and deeper in yourself. See a dimly lit room. There are many bubbles floating around the room. They're large bubbles, and there are messages in the bubbles. One bubble floats toward you, and the message reads, "You're not good enough." Another bubble floats toward you, and its message says, "It's too late." Another bubble reads, "You can't." You emotionally feel yourself contracting when you read these bubbles. Think back to the times when you believed those bubbles, when those bubbles kept you from doing things. See other messages in the bubbles, the messages that have been implanted in you that keep replaying. Breathe in a deep cleansing breath as you think of those messages. Release the emotional contraction. As the bubble that says you're not good enough floats forward, you reach out and pop the bubble. As the message pops, you feel the release. You feel that you are good enough. The bubble that says it's too late floats toward you. Again, you reach out and pop the bubble. The message is gone, and you can feel that it's never too late to begin, to start, to learn. Then you see the bubble that says you can't. You walk toward it and pop it. You feel, you know that you can. Yes, you can. As each bubble comes near you, you see the message, you pop it, and you know the message is not the truth. As you pop each bubble, the room gets brighter and brighter. You feel lighter and lighter as you pop each bubble. Soon you've popped all the bubbles in the room. You feel a new freedom. Take a deep breath in and slowly let it out. Feel the lightness. In this calm, relaxed state, be aware of the miracle that you are. You are a miracle of nature, a child of the universe. You have unlimited potential. You can do anything you desire. You only have to know that you can. You're a worthy, deserving person. You're worthy of love. You're worthy of thinking your own thoughts. You're worthy of feeling your own feelings. You're worthy of loving and being loved. You're worthy of happiness. You're worthy of living your fortune. It's your birthright. Have true faith in yourself and know your worthiness. Anytime you want to connect with your intuition, you can create this feeling of peace, calm, and relaxation to make you at ease, to quiet your mind, and to connect. I'll count from 5 to 1, with each number, you'll become more aware of your surroundings until you're again here in the present. When you're back in the present, you will feel refreshed and relaxed. 5. You're coming up and starting to feel yourself in the present. You're gaining energy. You're feeling fine. 4. You're coming up. You feel refreshed and relaxed. 3. You're starting to sense your surroundings even though your eyes are closed. You're looking forward to your vibrant future as you trust in your intuition and the ancient wisdom you already carry inside. 2. You can feel your eyes almost ready to open. There's no hurry. The calmness and relaxation will stay with you. You will feel refreshed when your eyes open. One, your eyes are opening. You feel fine. You know what a special miracle you are. Take a moment to feel yourself back. Take a deep, refreshing breath and know that you are a miracle and a maker of miracles. Welcome back. Allow yourself to breathe normally. Let the sense and feeling of well-being stay with you. You can use this process for any negative thought that seems to inhabit your mind. Go into it. Allow yourself to go through the relaxation, to visualize the room, to see the bubbles with those negative thoughts implanted in them, and then pop them, release them, and know that you're the opposite of what that negative thought is expressing, that you are complete, you are filled, and you're able to fill your needs from within, not from without. But as I close today's show on the inner child, I want to thank you for listening to the Metaphysical Musings on Spirit Talk. Going forward, we'll be talking about some of our shadow work and other issues related to this healing process and this forgiveness process. Remember, forgiveness is an ongoing process that starts with the forgiveness of self. Now, additional shows sharing metaphysical topics can be found at goodvibrationsradio.com. And if you have any questions or missed any elements in the show, please go to solazar.com. Send me an email. Ask the questions. If you want more information, if you missed a reference and would like to find that reference to go back to, please send those questions. I'm happy to answer them. Now, as you work your forgiveness and inner child healing, remember this anonymous poem from Empower Astrology. In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. And I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. No matter how hard the world pushes against me, within me, there's something stronger, something better, pushing right back. Whatever I give, I do so from the heart. And remember, do your daily practice of gratitude by saying, "Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever." Practice your self-love by doing your Ho'oponopono practice, saying, "I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you." And when things seem to be occurring that are out of your control, and control will be one of those wounded inner child issues, remember to release the need to control by using the prayer given us by Tom Moore in his book, Gentle Way, by saying, and asking for the most benevolent outcome to the situation. Remember, the most benevolent outcome is the one that serves all parties well. We don't necessarily know what that is, which is why we ask for the guidance of the most benevolent outcome. And for your daily forgiveness prayers, consider the prayer shared by Lisa Barnett in her book, Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records. There are three levels to this prayer: forgiveness of others, and two levels of forgiveness of self. So I will speak slowly. Out loud, repeat the phrases after me as we go through this prayer. Divine Spirit Source, please be my forgiveness to anyone or anything that has hurt me. From the beginning of time until the end of time, whether they realize they hurt me or not. I now forgive them, and I release them of any obligation they have had with me. Divine Spirit Source, please be my forgiveness for myself, for any hurt that I have caused others. From the beginning of time until the end of time. Whether I realized I hurt them or not. I now forgive myself. And I release myself of any obligation I have had with them. Divine Spirit Source, please be my forgiveness for myself, for any hurt that I have caused myself, from the beginning of time until the end of time. Whether I realized I hurt myself or not. I now forgive myself, and I release myself of any negative obligation I had with myself. I invoke the power of grace and forgiveness to transform my body, mind, and heart. As I return to my divine innocence, and so it is. Forgiveness clears karma. It allows us to heal our past, which consists of anything prior to this moment, and includes our childhood and past lives. Done at the end of the day, it helps clear all negativity that builds within you. Work this prayer every day. For 33 consecutive days, it will heal you. It will resolve some of your inner child pains, wounds, and trauma. And it will resolve some of your current pains, wounds, and trauma. Thank you for listening to Metaphysical Musings. If you have questions or there are topics you would like to cover, please send an email to solazar@gmail.com. That is solazar, S-O-L-A-R-Z-A-R, @gmail.com. Many blessings. We'll talk again next week.
There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free. If you truly wish to